return, she then was assumed into heaven in body. And then how? As we've said before, Mary may have, but most likely did not die. If she did die, it's because she chose to. She did not have to die for the best of reasons, because she had never sinned. Now Mary's queenship on two counts, as Mother of God and therefore sharing in a divine Son's royalty, and as Mother of the Church, appointed by her divine Son on Calvary to be the mother of not just of the Church, but we may say of all mankind. Now on the other side, and I notice there are quite a few questions, and what if I do this? I could, of course, cover this whole devotional side of the third article of the Creed now, but I think Our Lady deserves more of attention. All right, let me pass on the Marian devotion and save it for our next class. Okay? Be sure to bring these charts to class next time we meet. Okay? And let me then tackle the questions which you have submitted. Any other questions come in, don't hesitate to turn them in. Question. A sister teaching a catechist formation class at Sacred Heart Seminary said the early church had only two sacraments, baptism and the Eucharist. Well, it depends on what she means by early church. If she means the early church during the lifetime of Christ, in other words, the church after Christ's ascension into heaven, then the good sister is dead wrong, or they say in New England, she is dead wrong. Would be delightful to have a dialogue, a friendly dialogue with some of these people here. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I would welcome that. No way. Is this true? Now, if that's what she means, and I presume that is what is meant, you know, the church say, at least until Christ's ascension into heaven, has the early church had only two sacraments? No. By the way, is that a clever way of getting rid of the sacrament of matrimony? Boy. I thought Jesus instituted all seven sacraments and that the early church practiced all seven sacraments. Please comment. Well, no comment to be made. Of course, Christ instituted all seven sacraments. All seven. Including, by the way, the sacrament of the priesthood on Holy Thursday night. Is that of important? Molto importante. I was taught that, quote, virgin was a mistaken translation. If this was a mistake, it should not make any difference to the church's teaching on Mary's divine motherhood. Well, by now, I think I have met, 47 years in the priesthood, I think I've met just about all the errors and the defensive errors it is possible to meet. Now, I am presuming that I'm getting the question correct from the questioner, that the word in the original Hebrew for Isaiah could mean a young woman presumed to be, but not necessarily, a virgin. Is that correct? Yes. So how do we get a virgin out of that? Very simple. In three ways. About 200 years before Christ, the Jews made a Greek translation of, well, the Bible, which meant the Old Testament. And they translated Isaiah into Greek. And there's no ambiguity in the Greek language. The word for virgin, unqualified virginity, is parthenos. And that is the way it was in the Greek language at the time of Christ. That's the way the Jews understood it. And that's the first reason. Secondly, St. Matthew, in writing his gospel, quotes Isaiah. And he's writing in Greek, this is Matthew. And he used the word parthenos, virgin. Second reason, am I still clear? So first, the standard translation of the Hebrew into Greek was parthenos, virgin. Secondly, Matthew, according from Isaiah, passage that I gave you, in Greek, language that we have his gospel in, used the word parthenos. Thirdly, that's the only way Christians ever understood it. By the year 90, the Jews caught up. What did they do? They retranslated their whole Old Testament because they saw the Old Testament being used by Christians to a Christian's advantage. What did they do? They dropped 7 books from the Old Testament. The Jews did. And they also changed, including what we've got here. And the Protestants, Luther, for example, claimed, who better than the Jews know what belongs to the Old Testament? My dear Mr. Luther, Martin, just a minute. You've got your dates mixed up. The Jews we're talking about are the Jews after the Christian religion had been established. In other words, the Jews, until Christianity came along, the Jews accepted the word virgin when they saw that Christians were using Isaiah. Then, what do? They changed their old Bible to avoid Isaiah being used to identify the Messiah as being born of a virgin. Thank you. Where's this go? who was the Pope in 1854 when the Immaculate Conception was defined? Was it an encyclical? Is there a book I can purchase that deals with all the councils, starting with the Nicaea to Vatican II? Who would remember the name of the Pope who defined Mary's Immaculate Conception? Please?
Pius the Ninth.
That's right. Pius the Ninth had an epileptic. And he promised Our Lady, she'd help him get over the epilepsy, that he spent the rest of his priestly life promoting her honor. He got over the epilepsy. He became Pope. So then, among other things, he got Our Lady's Immaculate Conception defined. Okay. Oh, pardon me. I am the author on my lips, but I cannot be absolutely sure of the name. It may come to me before we finish the questions. If I think of it, I'll give you the name of the author, listing all the councils, but minus Vatican II, because that came after the book was published. In any case, if not, the next time we meet, I'll give you the... Please read before vote. More available on the table by the door. This fall you will be electing two members to the University of Michigan Board of Regents. The bottom line is the current Board of Regents has turned much of their focus away from education and toward social engineering. And I haven't read it all, so I'd rather not. But this is vote November the 8th. Copies seem to be available near the door, I presume. The contents are okay. IEWTN. Glorious Mission of the Rosary. They show the tomb of our Blessed Mother. How can this be? Well, piety, as you know, can go pretty far. So, you pray for these people, and you visit them. Well, the alleged tomb might say Hail Mary or two, but there was no tomb of Our Lady. Could you please bring more copies of Handbook Teaching Catholic? Oh, I mean, they're all gone, eh? I had to save some because I've got to go over the revised edition. As soon as they come out, I'll bring more copies. I promise. It would be good, by the way, if I knew how many copies we would need. So you might give me a little note or something. You said that if you are busy, called to do something for God, the devil will fiercely attack you on the emotional level. What is the best way to deal with this? Ignore the devil. In other words, as in St. Peter, where he tells us how to deal with the devil, the most important thing is to keep, as we would say, keep cool, keep emotionally calm. The exorcists that I know, professional exorcists, one especially, who is permanently damaged by the evil spirit because of his years of successful, well, exorcisms. But he said the secret when you're dealing with the evil spirit is not to be flustered, worried, bothered, especially not to show it. Because, as you know, the devil cannot read our minds. All he can do is watch our emotions. So, keep calm. Keep cool. And, for me, I've had to tell myself over the years, God is behind this crisis, problem, whatever it is, or impossible situation. God can bring me out of it. He knows how to resolve it. I don't. So I trust Him. For example, once, a major television program in Chicago, and just so many people I was to speak to. And in my hurry to get to the broadcast, I forgot my text. So there I was, in front of the camera. All I knew was the subject. Oh, what a fervent prayer I said. Honestly, I don't even know what I said, but well, people said that was just wonderful. Where can a person get a list of Orthodox feasts of Mary? Some of these I think I should save. I will try to get you a list. Now, by Orthodox feasts of Mary, I presume you mean of the Eastern Orthodox feasts. In other words, Orthodox, as you know, has at least two meanings. Question. In the Gospels, is there a definite proof that Jesus knew He was the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity? I was required to take a catechist formation class at Sacred Heart Seminary, where the sister teaching the class said the Gospel contained no proof that Jesus knew He was the Son of God. Now, my problem is to quote parts from the Gospels where He doesn't say it, either explicitly or implicitly. Now, the one dramatic passage, remember, in John's Gospel, 10th chapter, when the Jews, hostile Jews, are waiting to stone Christ. And He asked them, "For what good work are you trying to stone me?" And they tell Him, "Good work, nothing. It's because you, though man, make yourself equal to God." Remember? And the word equal to God is isos, from which we get our isosceles triangle. Remember? Where the two branches of the triangle are mathematically identical. You make yourself identical with God. And Christ says, "The Father and I are one." Gosh. Moreover, it might be the same woman that's slithering off these other comments. Let's say Hail Mary for the poor nun. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, seed of wisdom, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Throughout the Gospels, throughout the whole New Testament, if there is one word by which Jesus is known, is Lord, right? Lord this and Lord that. No Jew in his right mind is sober and sane would have any doubt that Kyrios or Dominus in Latin means God. So, well, pray. And pray for priests. Where is heaven? Since Jesus and Mary are physically in heaven. Oh, gee, thanks for the question. When you say are physically in heaven, well, is St. Ignatius physically in heaven? Sure. St. Francis of Assisi physically in heaven? Sure. To be physically anywhere means that the physis, or the physis, the nature, is where somebody is. So, it means that in heaven are Jesus and Mary in their bodily nature. But as human beings, all the saints are in heaven too. So where is heaven? Oh, that's easy. Where the experience of God is enjoyed. And then we have two definitions of heaven. In general, that's the generic definition of heaven, where the experience of God is enjoyed. And that's the first meaning of heaven in the Lord's Prayer, when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven. He's on earth, within us. And we should be enjoying His presence. Well, there are two ways of enjoying the presence of God. We can either enjoy the presence of God by faith, or we can enjoy the presence of God by vision. So, the next definition of heaven, where the presence of God is enjoyed by vision, by being seen face to face. That, of course, applies both to the angels and the saints. Now, I got this. I was supposed to open this. This was posted at our church. What do you think? Let's see. Enter the center. Enter your center. Journey into silence. An opportunity to spend some quiet time with one's God, focusing on the movement of the liturgical season. Director, whoever sent a staff, deposit $35, balance $35. Birthing God in the heart. For Master Eckhart, the heart signified what was most crucial in human experience, our identification with the Son of God made flesh. The coming to birth of the Word of God in our hearts encompasses the whole of Eckhart's spirituality. How shall we prepare our hearts for the birth of Christ? How will we know when Christ is born within? And what then? Deposit $35. This time the balance is $65. Eckhart was condemned as a heretic. Sweeney retreat for women. So it's deposit 35, balance 55. A mini sabbatical program. Enneagram negotiations. This seminar provides Enneagram solutions to aid in conflict resolution. You can have it. Mandala, Sanskrit. My best comment is, Lord help us. Lord help us. And I know some theology. This supplement was, I see, in a daily newspaper. Can you tell me a good book to read to learn about the Masons? I think John Whelan from Purdue University, his book on Freemasonry, I would recommend. I know some people who are Masons and they don't seem to be anti-Catholic. Well, they may not be, but Freemasonry is on principle anti-Catholic. I may have told you, at least on some occasion, that during the Second Vatican Council, I was asked by the Holy See to work with a bishop in examining Freemasonry, with a view to reporting back to Pope Paul VI on whether Freemasonry should be approved or it is no longer condemned by Rome. After months of interchange, correspondence, we met for 8 hours behind closed doors in the airport of Pittsburgh. Freemasons came from all over the world, all the leading Freemasons, and a bishop representing the council and myself. And when we finished, they would not admit some of their secrets, which are anti-Catholic. I was recently able to purchase a copy of The Spiritual Doctrine of Father Louis Lalamont. Would you please tell us something about him and the men he directed who later became the North American martyrs? Well, Louis de Lalamont was an early Jesuit who especially taught the Jesuits to love martyrdom. Last weekend, I heard a priest speak on the nightly examen. He said to recall our sins, or one's sins, was self-centered. We should try to recall the ways that God worked through us during the day. Please comment. Well, first, I'll say my own special prayer for the priest who thinks that examining one's sins is self-centered. Goodness. Over the years, I found the two kinds of people that I cannot argue with. The ignorant and the proud. I smile, talk about the weather, and I walk away. Where do you begin to convince a person that examining one's conscience on having sinned is pleasing to God? Of course, I'm also to see how God has worked in and through me, but by all means, at first to see where I have done wrong. Is there someone, a priest or sister, who could connect the Eucharistic Crusade with our children to our class, but in another room? Yes, it could be done. The one who asked the question, if they want to see me after class, we might make plans accordingly. Remember, my own directive to my Jesuit superiors in Rome is to organize the Eucharistic Crusade nationally, which we are doing. I'd be very happy, though, even on a very non-national scale here in metropolitan Ann Arbor. Very happy to do something. In a nutshell, if that's possible, can you explain why Martin Luther and or John Calvin deny the existence of the saints? Luther was a Catholic priest. Did it tie in with indulgences, and do they have an ego problem? Well, they had an ego problem, all right. Now, the problem for Luther was one word, sex. I tell people, you can spare yourself the trouble of reading 54 published volumes in English of Martin Luther. After you read 10 volumes, you fall asleep. One word, sex. As Luther, he just, for one thing, he stopped praying. Stopped saying his office. A priest vowed to celibacy. How in the name of God you can keep your chastity and especially celibacy without praying? That's madness. And of course, he wanted sex pleasure. And so he invented, and of course the devil is very inventive, he invented the theory that our nature is so depraved, we have no control over our nature. Everything we do by ourselves is always sinful. And consequently, if we're going to be saved, it's only because of God's grace. What we do before God does not really matter. Luther, not just once, but volumes, defending the thesis, homo est peccatum, man is sin, not merely homo est peccator, man is a sinner. So in other words, Luther was so steeped, for him it was sex, for John Calvin it was pride. And in both cases, both Luther and Calvin denied human freedom. And remember, and don't forget this, the purpose of human freedom is to conform our wills to the will of God. Let me repeat, the purpose of our human freedom is to conform our wills to the will of God. You don't want to conform your will to the will of God, you'll write whole libraries, and libraries have been written, explaining away freedom. That's Sigmund Freud. His 24 volumes, Sigmund Freud. No freedom in Freud. In other words, when you canonize one's own self-will, So it is not so much an ego problem as rather ego idolatry. The British Admiralty flag is displayed in some public places in Michigan. Cecil Rhodes stated that the British will take back America no matter how long it takes. I believe it. And they're doing a good job. Ideologically, they control the United States. I mean every word of my sentence. They control the United States ideologically. Do you know the Vatican's address? We'd like to send the Pope some money. That's very simple. His Holiness, Pope John Paul II, Vatican City, Europe. Now, there's some risk, though, because mail can get lost, as the expression goes. Now, what I do, the questioner need not do this, what I do, we have, shall I say, an agency in Washington, our own Intermerifica. I don't have the address. I do have the phone number, however. And people want to send money to the Holy Father. They send it to the Washington address, and regularly we send checks. Should be made out, however. The check should be made out to Pope John Paul II. Their phone number is area 301-949-4840. The address I don't have here with me.
Can you repeat the number?
Yes, 301-949-4840. 301-949-4840. It's in Kensington, Maryland, just outside of Washington. And may the people send me to send Holy Father. That's the route that I take. I send it to Kensington, Maryland, and they always, he's going to be then sent to the Pope's secretary, private secretary, and then it's secure because you're sending money, anything can happen to money. Many women are Eucharistic ministers. What do you think of them taking the Blessed Eucharist to shut-ins? Well, as we all know, the number of Eucharistic ministers, as we call them, lay people, including lay women, is large. And mainly, I have to say this, mainly due, and I have to say this, either to the shortage of priests, and there are explanations for that, or to the unwillingness of priests to bring the Blessed Sacrament, or deacons. And we've got enough deacons in the United States, I assure you, to take care of all the Eucharistic needs that are now being met by other Eucharistic ministers. However, the deacons would have to want to do it. There are bishops in the United States that are very unhappy with deacons. But women Eucharistic ministers in some dioceses, not just as Eucharistic ministers, but they are running the dioceses. I think I've told you, was in our last class, whether it was to your group, parishes, where one will go through the whole liturgy and a priest will then be, say, told to recite the Eucharistic prayer and the words of consecration. But the rest is done by a woman. And now I understand an archbishop is petitioning Rome for having women fully accoutred in priestly garb. the pressure on the Pope is demonic. That's spelled D-E-M-O-N-I-C, demonic. A women's community, shall we call them religious communities? I have them, these in my file, where the nuns are trained in witchcraft. The nuns are trained in witchcraft on how to invoke women demons to get their will. And they are succeeding. The greatest threat, Holy See that I work for, Holy See believes the greatest threat to the future survival of the Church of the United States is feminism. Here's the full address. Inter Mirifica, that's for the money to the Holy Father. Inter Mirifica has two words, I-N-T-E-R, next word, Mirifica, M-I-R-I-F-I-C-A, Inter Mirifica, 2812 Jutland Road, as J-U-T-L-A-N-D, Jutland Road, address is Kensington, Maryland, Kensington, K-E-N-S-I-N-G-T-O-N, Maryland. Zip is 20895. Other number that I gave you is the one that I use. There are other phone numbers here. There's a 301-942-9577. 301-942-9577. And there's a fax number, 301-942-9572 for the fax number. My ordinary route for sending things, for example money, or dealing with the Vatican, most of my work I do through Inter Mirifica. In a nearby parish, the pastor announced an All Hallows Eve party after the weekend mass. Only saints' costumes allowed. It is intended to replace trick-or-treat for the children of the parish. Well, it may be a good idea. Depending on how serious it is, it may be in the right direction. If anybody participates, let me know. What was your first language, or the language you speak? My first language was Slovak. My parents were both born in Slovakia. So I handled the Slav languages, Russian, of course, Polish, Croatian, and so on. I belonged to a German parish. I had to learn some German. I majored in French in college, so I have to handle some French. And since Spanish is the language of the Society of Jesus, I have learned some Spanish. And because I deal with Rome, I get nowhere without knowing some Italian. So, if Luther believed that there are no saints in heaven, where did he hope to go when he died? Into a state of unconsciousness, honest, into a state of unconsciousness until the last day. How convenient. Thanks for the extra time. Shall we pray? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father, is there a priest here? Is Father Dennis here yet? Is he gone? Father Dennis still here? Any other priest? How about a blessing, okay? I like Latin. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendet super vos, et mania semper. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.